Okay, tonight is part two of our series on tefillah, the structure of the Siddur, and insights into tefillah. So some of you were here last week, some of you were not, some of you were here last week and are not here this week. This week will also be recorded. And this week is going to be a little bit different. Last week we gave a little bit of an introduction to the Siddur. We spent a significant amount of time on Adon Olam. I did send out, I typed up, I could not find the tefillah, so I did send out to people who requested. So if you're interested, I meant to do it for today, but I was running a little bit late today. So Belina and I can bring it next week. The nusach of the tefillah of Shem Hashem, in order to pronounce, or I should have the proper intention of Shem Hashem. For those who don't know what I'm talking about, that's okay. You can follow this week as well. And if you listen to the recording of the last year, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. Today, I'd like to spend some time on the brachos of Al Netilat Yadayim and Asher Yatzar. I'm not sure if I'll be able to complete everything. And in order to get us into the mood, I'm going to read an article. It's possible that everyone in this room has read this article at some point in her life. And I've certainly read the article, and I've heard the speaker at least once in public. And it's a worthwhile article for you to hear, for us to hear, to get us into the mood, and hopefully appreciate the brachos of Al Netilat Yadayim and Asher Yatzar, written by Dr. Kenneth Prager. When I was an elementary school student in yeshiva, a Jewish parochial school with both religious and secular studies, my classmates and I used to find amusing a sign that was posted just outside the bathroom. It was an ancient Jewish blessing, commonly referred to as the Asher Yatzar benediction, that was supposed to be recited after one relieved oneself. For grade school children, there could be nothing more strange or ridiculous than to link to acts of defecation with holy words that mention God's name. Blessings were reserved for prayers for holy days and for thanking God for food and for some acts of deliverance, but surely not for a bodily function that evokes smirks and giggles. It took me several decades to realize the wisdom that lay behind this blessing that was composed by Abaye, a 4th century Babylonian rabbi, and we'll see Abaye's comment in a couple of minutes. Abaye's blessing is contained in the Talmud, an encyclopedic work of Jewish law and lore that was written over the first 5 centuries of the Common Era. The Jewish religion is chock full of these blessings, or brachot as they are called in Hebrew. In fact, an entire tractate of Talmud, 128 pages in length, is devoted to brachot. On page 1, Taranani, what we call brachot 60b, we'll see this in the Gemara, of the ancient text it's written. Abaye said, when one comes out of the bathroom, he should say, blessed is he who has formed man in wisdom and created in him many orifices and many cavities. It's obvious and known before your throne of glory that if one of them were to be ruptured or one of them blocked, it would be impossible for a man to survive and stand before you. Blessed are you that heals all flesh and does wonders. An observant Jew is supposed to recite this blessing in Hebrew after each visit to the bathroom. We young yeshiva students were reminded of our obligation to recite this prayer by the signs that contained its text that were posted just outside the restroom doors. It is one thing, however, to post these signs is quite another to realistically expect pre-adolescents to have the maturity to realize the wisdom and the need for reciting a 1600-year-old blessing related to bodily functions. It's not until my second year of medical school that I first began to understand the appropriateness of this short prayer. Pathophysiology brought home to me the terrible consequences of even minor aberrations in the structure and function of the human body. At the very least, I began to no longer take for granted the normalcy of my trips to the bathroom. Instead, I started to realize how many things had to operate just right for these minor interruptions of my daily routine to run smoothly. I thought of Abaye and his blessing. I recalled my days at yeshiva and remembered how silly that sign outside the bathroom had seemed. But after seeing patients whose lives revolved around the dialysis machines and others with colostomies and urinary catheters, I realized how wise the rabbi had been. And then it happened. I began to recite Abaye's bracha. At first, I had to go back to my siddur, the Jewish prayer book, to get the text right with repetition, and there were many opportunities for a novice to get to know this blessing well. I could recite it fluently and with sincerity and understanding. Over the years, reciting the Asher Yatzah has become for me an opportunity to offer thanks, not just for the proper functioning of my excretory organs, but for all my overall good health. The text, after all, refers to catastrophic consequences of the rupture or obstruction of any bodily structure, not only those of the urinary or gastrointestinal tract. Could Abai, for example, have foreseen that the blockage of the cavity or lumen of the coronary artery would lead to the commonest cause of death in industrialized countries some 16 centuries later? I have often wondered if other people also yearn for some way to express gratitude for their good health. Physicians, especially who are exposed daily to the ravages that illness can wreak, must sometimes feel the need to express thanks for being well and thus well-being. Perhaps a generic, non-denominational Asher Yatzar could be composed for those who want to verbalize their gratitude for being blessed with good health. There was one unforgettable patient whose story reinforced the truth and beauty of the Asher Yatzar for me forever. Josh was a 20-year-old student who sustained an unstable fracture of his third and fourth cervical vertebrae in a motor vehicle crash. He nearly died from his injury and required emergency intubation and ventilatory support. He was initially total quadriplegic, but for weak flexion of his right biceps. A long and difficult period of stabilization and rehabilitation followed. There were promising signs of neurological recovery over the first few months, and then that came suddenly and unexpectedly. Movement of a finger here, flexion of a toe there, return of sensation here, adduction of a muscle group there. With incredible courage, hard work, and an excellent physical therapist, Josh improved day by day. In time, and after what seemed like a miracle, he was able to walk slowly with a leg brace and a cane. But Josh continued to require intermittent catheterization. I know only too well the problems and perils this young man would face for the rest of his life because of a neurogenic bladder. The urologists were very pessimistic about his chances for not requiring catheterization. They had not seen this occur after a spinal cord injury of this severity. But Josh continued to require... Then the impossible happened. I was there the day Josh no longer required a urinary catheter. I thought of Abai's Asher Yatzar prayer. Pointing out that I could not imagine a more meaningful scenario for its recitation, I suggested to Josh, who was also a yeshiva graduate, that he say the prayer. He agreed as he recited the ancient prayer. Tears welled in my eyes. Josh is my son. I remember this happened, I think, my year that I was in Israel. Many, many years ago. Asher Yatzar is a tefillah we recite daily. And at first glance, it seems to be a bracha that's a responsive bracha. Which means, it's a birchas shevach v'hoda. It follows, really, the template of a bracha of praise and thanksgiving, as dozens of brachos that we have. The rule is, when it comes to a bircha shevach vahuda, a bracha of praise and thanksgiving, the template is that it speaks about God's greatness in some fashion. It begins with the baruch, and it ends with the baruch, as a classic bircha shevach vahuda does. And there is usually a theme throughout the entire bracha. As opposed to Birchas HaMitzvah, which is very short, or Birchas HaNenin on food, which is also very short, a Birchas Shevach V'Hoda is rather lengthy. Give you an example, Sheva Brachos. Take this last of the Sheva Brachos, it's rather lengthy, they don't all have to be. Begins with Baruch Atah Hashem Elkeinu Melech HaOlam, Asher Baras Sason Simchas Chasan DeKala, speaks about Chasan and Kala, Odi Shema, etc., Baruch atah Hashem, Misameach Hechason Im Hakala. And then it ends. Baruch at the beginning, Baruch at the end. You may be familiar with the concept called Me'ein Chasima Samuch Lechasima, which means, if you look at most brachos, there will be almost a summary of what the bracha is about at the end. Prior to the end of the bracha, we say something which may have almost very similar words to what comes at the end of the bracha. In fact, all of Shemoneh Esrei is that way too. We usually speak about the bracha, take the bracha, b'slach lo rabbi kichatanu. This is not a bracha shevach v'hoda, but it does have a phrase towards the end. You say, ki el mochav soleach ata, I mentioned slicha, baruch ata Hashem, chanun hamarbe l'slovach. That's the way brachos work. When I end the bracha with the chasima, with its conclusion, the phrase that you recite immediately prior to the conclusion will have a word or words or a theme very similar to the end of the bracha. In fact, you may listen to some Balei Kriya, and they make certain changes in the brachos of the Haftorah. Take this bracha: Baruch Ata Hashem Misameach Tzion Bivaneha. So if you look at the Haftorah, the Shabbos, look at the Haftorah brachos afterwards, by that time, I don't know, either throwing bags or getting ready to throw a bag, or I don't know what, right? So, but look at that, you'll notice there's no mention of Tzion, and there's no mention of Simcha, and there's no mention of Tzion's children either. So in the phrase that comes right before that. So, in certain shuls, or certain individuals choose to do so, they may add on the word Misameach prior to the end of the bracha. I'll give you one example. I heard someone do this in shul. Do not do this in shul if you're leading the davening. And that is because you should follow what the shul minig is. But the bracha of Yerushalayim Ircha Barachamim Toshuv also has that problem. Uvenei Osa Bikarov Yameinu Binyan Olam. Listen to the last phrase. V'chisei David, the throne of David, Mehera L'tocha Tachid. Ready? Baruch Ata Hashem, Bonei Yerushalayim. Now, where was the word Yerushalayim and where was the word Bonei in the phrase that happened right before that? It's not there. In certain Sidurim, in certain communities, they flip the order. And they will say, V'chisei David Mehera L'socha Tachin, Uvenei Osa B'karov B'yameinu Binyan Olam, Baruch Ata Hashem, Bonei Yerushalayim. See what I did? I got myself a little binyan in there. Me'ein chasima, samach lechasima. So Asher Yotzar fits in, right? Really follows the template of a bircha shevach v'hoda. So the same way when I see a rainbow, I respond and praise Hashem. The same way when I hear thunder, I respond and praise Hashem. The same way if I'm at a wedding or I see a chassan and kawa celebrating, I respond and say Sheva Brachos. So if I go to the bathroom, I respond and I praise Hashem for the ability to go to the bathroom, the bodily functions, everything's working properly. So the problem is that this is not Bircha Shevach V'Hodah Shir, this is a Tefillah Shir. And Asher Yotzar seems to be a bracha that we recite every morning, and it's almost part of the Seder HaTfilah, which is strange. I don't think we think about that. But it's part of this, right? You know, let's say you live, I don't know, in England, it rains every day. So you say, every morning I wake up in the morning and it's thunder every day. It's a summer, right? And you're in camp. Every morning I wake up in the morning. So now, should you put it in the Seder, right? After Amit Talas Yadayim, so put in the bracha for thunder. Would we do that? What is it about Asher Yotzar that somehow Asher Yotzar now becomes part of the order of the davening, that now it's placed in the Seder every single day? In order to bolster this question, I want you to take a look at the sheet you have and turn to source number 5. Turn to the second page. This is Halachin Shulchan Aruch, a comment of the Ramah, where he speaks about the rules of Netilas Yadayim. And he says in Se'if Aleph, this is before the Ramah, this is the Shulchan Aruch, source 5, Yirchatz, I know there are a lot of Alephs there. It means there are a lot of commentary on that. Yirchatz Yadav, Vivarech on Netilas Yadayim. Okay, so that we do. Very nice. We wash our hands, we make Netilas Yadayim. Says the Ramah, V'yeshomrim, that in the morning, not only do I say Netilas Yadayim, Gam Asher Yotzar. All right, we do that too. What does the next line say? What does Rabbah say? The Afilu Lo Asatz Rachav Vicheno Hagu. What does the Rabbah say? Even if you don't relieve yourself, even if you didn't go to the bathroom, right? You didn't drink enough the night before, you don't have to go to the bathroom, or what? You wake up in the morning, doesn't matter. You say Asher Yatzar. That's interesting. So all of a sudden, I see that Asher Yatzar may have a dual function. Asher Yatzar is a bircha shevach v'hodah. Every time I go to the bathroom, it could be 2:30 in the afternoon, I have to thank Hashem for the fact that my body is functioning, I went to the bathroom. And then there's something about Asher Yatzar which makes it so fitting for waking up in the morning that according to the Rama, I would recite Asher Yatzar even without using the bathroom. It's part of the Seder HaTfilah. It's one thing for us to think about. Number two, if you take a look at the Gemara, which is found, go back to the first page, we'll see what seems to be maybe a different approach. Source number three actually has Abaye's statement that I read to you in Dr. Prager's article. Kinafik Omer, when you leave the bathroom, you say, Baruch Asher Yatzaras Adam B'Chochma, Uvaravo Nikavim Chalolim Chalolim, etc. This is the bracha of Asher Yatzar. Golui v'yadul efneichisei chavadecha, shim b'pasecha chanem amoy simchem, iafshar la'amod lefanecha, my chasim, how do I conclude the bracha? We'll get back to this a little bit later. How do I conclude the bracha? Amarav, rofei cholim, God who heals the sick. Amar Shmuel, kashavinu v'aba l'kulei alma kitzire. Wait, everyone's sick? Everyone has to make the bracha, rofei cholim, everyone, you can tell me when everyone's sick. No, ela rofei chol basar. Don't mention people who are sick, not the ill. No, God heals everybody, every human flesh. Rav Sheshes Amar. No, that's not how you end it. You end Baruch Atah Hashem, mafli la'asot. Amar Rav Papa, something Rav Papa has said once in a while, and each case it has to be analyzed. Hilkach, well, I have two amoraim. Nimrinu l'tarvayu. Well, why don't we say both? Rofei chol basar, umafli la'asot. That phrase actually is a combination of two completely disparate opinions. That Rav Papa says, well, I may as well combine. Is that we do that with every machlokes. Can you imagine that? Every time there's a machlokes, just combine them. First of all, the siddur would never end. All right, you'd have the minhagim we would do would go on forever, right? That'd be crazy. I may as well do this, may as well do that. Somehow we're combining the two, and we're going to say both phrases. In addition, something just to think about, which we'll hopefully have time later, is that we don't end brachos with two themes. We avoid that. One of the big questions which is coming up in a couple of weeks is how I'm permitted to conclude the bracha of Nachem with Menachem Tzion Ubonei Yerushalayim. You're not supposed to do that. We don't end with two statements. One statement, and that's it. Okay. What happens after this Asher Yatzar in the Gemara and Brachos? So I'm not going to read through the whole thing, but it should look very familiar to you. Hanechnas Lishon, we go to sleep, you say Shema Yisrael, Vayom Shamoah, HaMapil, and the Yiratzon, the Mapil of Bracha, and then you wake up in the morning, about six lines down, Ki Mit'ar Omer Elokai, Nishama Shana Satabi Torahi, etc. And then if you look six lines, five lines from the bottom, what should you do when you hear the rooster in the morning, Asher Nasan Lasech Vivina, etc. Malbisha Rumim, Hamechin Mitzadeh Gaver, the whole list of brachos. What's strange? I didn't even go to sleep yet. And you're telling me the rules of Asher Yatzar. Well, maybe the Gemara, against the way the Rama understands it, says, I'll tell you why, because I'm going through a whole list of brachos that you probably will recite on a regular basis. And I want to speak about Asher Yatzar. Asher Yatzar you're going to say every time you go to the bathroom. And then you have the brachos that you normally say every day. You have the bracha of before you go to sleep, a bracha when you wake up in the morning. Somehow here, Asher Yatzar is following that first purpose, that first function, which is, it's a bracha shevach v'hodah. How does the Rambam formulate it, though? So take a look, turn the page. The Rambam, in source number 6, in the Hilchos Tefillah. Interesting.
Rambam's system of organization is critical. If Rambam is talking about Asher Yatzar, which is a Bircha Shevach Vahodah, like you would speak about Sheva Brachos, and you speak about other Brachos on lightning and thunder and a shooting star, so where would those Halachos be? They would be in Hilchos Brachos. And where is this Asher Yatzar? We'll see in a moment. In Hilchos Tefillah.
Not only that, in Halacha Gimel, the Rambam speaks about Elokai Neshama. Everyone can see that. In Halacha Dalid, the Rambam begins the Birchos HaShachar. I don't have to go through all of them now. Turn the page. And then, in Halacha Hey, look what the Rambam does. And I want to make a point to you. The last bracha the Rambam discussed that's on our list is Zokeif Kifufim. We're not done with that list yet. Now the Rambam says, V'chol's manshi kaneis lebeis hakisei, Omer, before you go in, there are words that we say, this is not our custom today, where you kind of tell the malachim, hold off, I know you're not coming in with me, you guys stay outside, I'm going in, right? Don't leave. All right, you say that. And then I'm on the second line in the middle of the line. Va'achar sheyetze mivarech barachat Hashem Elokeinu melech haolam, etc. Rofecho basor matli lasos. Look at halacha vav. Then, well, what happens when you come out of the bathroom? Well, you got to put on your pants. Kishechoger chagoro mivarech ozer Yisrael bigvura. Kishelovesh ne'olav mivarech she'asali kol tzarki, etc. So what does the Rambam do with this bracha? Where is it? It's right in the middle of getting up in the morning. You go to the bathroom. Now, it's true the Rambam's introductory remark is V'kol zman sheikanes lebeis hakiseh. He does say that. He acknowledges that at 2:30 in the afternoon, I'm going to make this bracha as well. But here it is, not only in the middle of Hilchos Tefillah, but smack in the middle of Birchos HaShachar. Now keep in mind that the Rambam follows what the Gemara says, and this is not for today's shir, but just to be aware of the fact that the Birchos HaShachar initially, based on what the Gemara expected, were recited every time you did something in the morning. You open your eye, you said, Pokei Achabrim. You put on your shoes, Shasali Kotzarki. You sat up in bed in long sits, that's Matir Asurim. You stand up, Zokef Kufim, you didn't taking steps, Hamechim Mitzadei Gavar. You wash your face, Hamavir Shana. In fact, it helps explain why there are different customs as to what brachos are omitted on Tisha B'Av. There are those who omit Shasali Kotzarki because that is recited when you put on your leather shoes. If you don't have a mitzvah to wear, if you're not permitted to wear leather shoes, I don't say that bracha. I don't have time today to explain what that phrase, Shasli Tzarka, has to do with wearing leather shoes. Maybe for another time. Okay? Some omit the bracha ha-ma'avir shena me'enai. Why? Because that's the bracha I recite when I wash my face, but I'm not allowed to wash my face. Some omit the bracha of Oter Yisrael b'sifara. Men will omit that and only recite it at mincha because the Rush's opinion was the Rush would make that bracha. I crown myself with glory. That refers to the tefillin shel Rosh. If I don't wear tefillin in the morning, I don't make that bracha. Ozei Yisrael b'gevura, putting on the belt. So we see that Asher Yatzar is part of the Seder HaTfilah according to the Rambam. So what is it? Is it part of the Seder HaTfilah and I recited, included in the brachos, and according to the Rama, even if I don't use the bathroom? Or is it just a Bircha Shevach V'Hodah? How do I understand the bracha of Asher Yatzar? Okay. So, what I'd like to do is for us to take a look, to back up to Am Netilas Yadayim. And hopefully put these two brachos in a special category and understand why they're so critical in the morning and why they should be so meaningful to us. Here's the question. So if you're in my family, don't answer this question because I've raised this question at my table several times. Baruch Ata Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Haolam, Asher Kedishanu B'mitzvah Savitzivanu Al Nitilas Yadayim. all I want you to do is translate the word nitilas for me. Because if it's washing, then you should say rechitzas yadayim. If you're not using, if you're putting your hands in a mikveh or in a body of water, most of the poskim say you would say al tevilas yadayim. I'm not using a kli. What in the world does that word mean? So, right, it means to take. Natal means to take. So I'm going to take my hands. I'm not sure what I'm taking them and why I'm taking them and what I'm here to accomplish. The word, there are those who claim that the word natzla actually means a kli. Natzla nun tet lamid aleph in Aramaic means a kli. And what the Chachamim had in mind when they instituted that bracha was the fact that they wanted to emphasize the fact that a kli is necessary. I need to use a vessel in order to fulfill the mitzvah. It's not sufficient that I just run my hands under the water. I actually have to use a kli. But it's a little bit strange. Al nitilas yadayim almost sounds like right? Al nitilah of the yadayim as if I'm doing something. There's something I need to be doing. I'm washing my hands. So I say that bracha not only when I wake up in the morning. I say that bracha before I eat food. I say that bracha a lot. So I want to show you what I want to prove to you what that bracha could mean. It's not my idea. Many claim this is, but when you hear it, you don't believe it until you see what I'm going to show you. I want you to look at source number 2. Just so we look at a translation of a word. There are many, many examples of this, but I took one that everybody said, at least you would believe me. This is the Makkah of Arba. Vayet Moshe es Matehu al Eretz Mitzrayim. Moshe lifts up his staff. Vashem nihag ruach kadim ba'aretz kol hayom ahu v'chol halayla. Haboker haya v'ruach hakadim nasa es ha'arba. The eastern wind lifted up the arba. We read Targum Onkelos. Va'arim Moshe yaschutz rei al arad Mitzrayim. Moshe lifts up his staff. Vashem diba ruach kiduma ba'ara in the land, kol yoma v'cholelia, tzafra hava, tzafra is boker in Aramaic, v'ruach kiduma natal yas gova. What does the word natal mean? It means to lift. That's what it means. When we recite the bracha every single morning, Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, Asher Kiddushan, this is the first bracha with Asher Kiddushan. Think about what we're saying. Asher Kiddushanu b'mitzvosav. You have sanctified us with your mitzvos. I am holy because you have given us the ability to perform all of your mitzvos. Vitzivanu, and you've commanded us. Now the truth is it's the rabbis who've commanded us, and it's under the command of what we call Lo Tasur. We follow all of the words of the rabbis. Al, you've commanded us on Tilas Yadayim. That our hands are here to be lifted to do the holy work of the Ribono Shel Olam. What better bracha to begin the day than the fact that my hands are here to do, these are ma'aseh yadai, the work of my hands, I am here to serve you. That's why I have these hands. Yigia kapecha ki tochel ashecha v'toblach. The hands, the palms we've been given, are here to be lifted up and serve Hashem with those hands. That's how I begin the day. With that, we understand why we're washing our hands. We're washing our hands every single morning. So there are usually 3 possible answers as to why we wash our hands. This may be very familiar to us. There's the opinion that we have from the Zohar, a Kabbalistic idea, that when we sleep, so there is a ruach ra'ah, there is some tumah, some type of impurity,
that is upon the hands after we sleep for a certain period of time. And that needs to be removed every single morning. So that Ruach HaTumah can be removed by washing your hands. That may need the three back and forth in succession. That may be true how I'm able to remove that. But that's one of the reasons we wash our hands in the morning. According to Torah HaNigla, according to the revealed Torah, there are real reasons why we have to wash our hands. The Rosh, Rabbeinu Asher ben Yechiel, was of the opinion of Yadayim Askanios Hain. Our hands are busy. Which means, when we're sleeping, it's very possible that our hands have touched a part of the body that would require Netilas Yadayim. Parts of the body that generally have to be covered, if they're touched with our hands, I have to wash them. If I scratch my head, I have to wash my hands. Even if I cut after we take a shower, even if you don't use the bathroom, we have to wash 1-2, 1-2. Cutting your hair, cutting your nails, 1-2, 1-2. Many instances we have an obligation to wash without a bracha, generally. We have to wash our hands. So Yadayim Askanios, and you're asleep, there's a good chance you scratch your hair, scratch your back, who knows? We wash our hands every single day. The Rashba had a different approach. And it's this Rashba that I'd like to develop, because I think this answers many, many questions. Take a look at the first source. Sha'alta od. Lama tiknu birchas al netilas yadayim b'shachris. She'brocha zulo nitakne el alapash b'shas suda. I know I recite that bracha before I eat bread. But why am I saying this bracha every morning? Va'onam. B'perak ha'yakore. This is the Gemara in Brachos. Amar Rabbi Yochanan hanotel yadav u'meniach tfilin v'kori kriyashma zuhi kabos malchus shamayim shlema. Oh, how do you accept the yoke of heaven? Okay, reading Shema, that I hear. For those who wear tefillin, that I hear. You know what part of Om Malchus Shamayim is to accept the yoke of heaven? I'm washing your hands in the morning. Really? That's up there with Shema and tefillin? Does that make any sense? Explains the Rashba. Yesh Lomar, if you look at the end of the fourth line, after the period. Lefi. Shebishachar anu nasim kiberia chadash. In the morning we become a new creation. Dichsiv, a pasuk we'll read in a couple of weeks. Chadashim labikarim rabba emunasecha. This is the source for that phrase from Modeani. And that's why when you say Modeani lefanecha melechai v'kayam, shechazat rabinish nosi bechemla, kama, rabba emunasecha. As often happens, the songs that we sing have the pronunciation on the wrong place. Okay, that's typical. But no, it's bechemla, with mercy, comma, rabba emunasecha, because that's a phrase from Eicha. Chadashim labekarim, in the morning, in the boker, chadashim, everyone's new. Rabba emunasecha, great is your faithfulness. Great is our trust in you. Great is our faith in you that you will return my neshama to me. Whatever that phrase means. Rabba emunasecha. Ukshem ukmoshe balahem zal memedrash. Utsrichin anu lahodos lo yisbarach. So we owe a debt of gratitude to Hashem every morning. Al shebranu lichvodo, He created us to honor Him. L'shar so, to serve Him. U'levarech b'shmo. He still hasn't gotten to the point. Ready? Va'al davar zeh tiknu b'shachar kol osan bracho sh'anu m'varchim l'chol boker u'boker. We recite all those brachos every morning. The brachos ha'shachar are appropriate for every second of the day. I could say, every second I have my eyes open. Every second I tighten my belt. It's once a day. Because every single day I'm a new person.
Ulefikach. Anu tzrichim lehiskadesh b'kdushaso. We have to sanctify ourselves. Asher kidushanu b'mitzvosav. We're holy people. The first thing I think about when I wake up in the morning is I am here to serve Hashem. That is my primary mission. V'litol yadeinu min hakli kekohen shemekadesh yadav min haki or kodem avadosa. Like a Kohen every single morning before he serves Hashem in the Mikdash. We are a mamlechet kohanim. We never should feel jealous that we can't serve Hashem in the capacity of a Kohen, because we all can. Every single member of Am Yisrael is a Kohen. And to prove it is that I say, Asher kidushanu b'mitzvosav, you sanctified us with your mitzvos, v'tzivanu al mitilas yadayim. My hands are here to serve you. There's a higher purpose for my waking up in the morning. And therefore the nusach of the bracha is al mitilas yadayim. The fact that I'm lifting up my hands. And I lift up my hands and I wash my hands because I'm like the Kohen who's washing from the kiyor before he's able to do the avoda. That's the way a Jew begins the day. There can be nothing more inspiring than that if we understood what those words meant and why I'm washing in the morning. Just think about what we've accomplished so far. I recite Adon Olam before or after, doesn't really matter. I think about the Ribono Shel Olam. I think about Bechir Chafshit, he's given me that choice, that 14th Ikar Emuna we spoke about last week. That here I am, you believe in me. You believe in me, that I can serve you. You believe in me, I can make the right choices. And I wash my hands, I imagine I'm the Kohen. We don't have a Beis HaMikdash. So no one's walking into the Beis HaMikdash. But my home is the Beis HaMikdash. My life is the life of a Kohen. I say you sanctified me as a Jew, and I'm washing my hands like a Kohen. And I say, Al Mitilas Yadayim, I'm lifting up my hands. Asher Yatzar, where does that play into all of this? Hashem created man b'chokhmah, with great wisdom. Let's understand what that bracha actually means. So if you take a look at source number 4, it says, Kisheyetzi mibeis hakisei yivarech. Asher yatzar es ha'adam b'chachma. What does it mean Hashem created man with wisdom? Is it that He created man with wisdom? Or He created man with wisdom? Which means Hashem used wisdom when He created man. Or He created me and I have wisdom. The ability to choose. And what is the wisdom? If it's God's wisdom, what was so smart about creating man? So take a look. Shebriyas ha'adam hi b'chokhma nifla'a. It's a wondrous thing. V'yesh mefarshim al shem shahaguf domeh l'nod malei ruach. You want to see what chokhma there was in God creating man? We're like a canteen full of air. And yet there are orifices. So what happens when you poke a hole in the canteen? Okay, so everything comes out. That's what happens. And yet, miraculously, we're able to live. The air is able to stay in. V'yesh b'farshin b'chachma no. Asher yatzar. You know what the chachma was? Asher yatzar es ha'adam b'chachma. The wisdom was that when man was created, it was at the perfect time. Why was it perfect that he was created on the sixth day? Because then everything was available for him. Of course. Shehiskin mizono sav shel adam harishon v'achachach b'ra'o. I'll be honest, you may not be able to have all these kavanos every single day. I would say, choose one. Yeah, there's two or three options. You know, Sunday, this is what I think when I say Asher Yatzar. Oh, you go to the bathroom so many times during the day, so choose one for the morning, one for the afternoon. This way, we don't have enough times, we'll cover all the possibilities of what that phrase means. That's not only the only phrase. That's not the only phrase. Right? And he explains, Rofei Chol Basar, what does that mean? Right? So, Rofei Chol Basar, he says, Choli Chol Basar, we don't have the time to discuss that this week. Al Shem Shahana Kavim Shabalabalahusi Psolas Machalo. Look at that. We're able to get rid of our waste. Kim Yisapesh Bebet and Yamos. If it would spoil and remain inside, we would die. And therefore, the fact that we're able to take it out, that's a refuah. That's a refuah. So, because time is limited this week, so I'd like to focus on at least one phrase in the Asher Yatzar. Maybe we'll continue this next week. One phrase in the Asher Yatzar, which I'd like to get to today in order to put everything we discussed together. There is a phrase that's very difficult to understand. What Chazal had in mind. Galui v'yadua lifnei chisei kevodah. It is revealed and known in front of your seat of glory, your throne of glory. That what? Well, if you open it up, and clear up, so then we won't be able to last. And then the last phrase, umafli va'asos. You do wondrous. Anyone know where that phrase appears, where that's from? Out of all places, that's from Shoftim. In the description of Eshes Manoach, before Shimshon was born, when the Malach went up. And it was a wondrous thing. And I take that phrase from there. So allow me to explain the way I understand what this has to do with Asher Yatzar, and it has to do with the beginning of the day. If you take a look at source number 7, this is a pasuk in Yirmiyahu. Where does Kisei Chavodecho come from? There are a few phrases in Tanakh. But I would say that this is the phrase. This is what Chazal had in mind. Kisei Kavod. Kisei Chavodecho. Marom Merishon. God's throne has been there all the way, Merishon, from the beginning of time. Mikol Mikdashenu. And it happens to be that, as we know, Chazal teach us, corresponding to the Kisei HaKavod Lemala is the Beis HaMikdash Shelmat. Okay. And then it says, Mikveh Yisrael Hashem. God is the, literally, is the mikveh, is the hope of the Jewish people, but God is the mikveh. God is the way the Jewish people are able to purify themselves. Kol Ozvecha Yevosh. Now, what is the next pasuk? Rifaeni Hashem ve'erafei, Hoshieni ve'ivashea, kisihi lasiata. Here we speak about a kisei kavod. We speak about a reference to Hashem's throne, a reference to the Beis HaMikdash itself, and we speak about refuah. Asher Yatzar is critical for the beginning of the day and does not have to be related to relieving oneself. Because Asher Yatzar is really continuation of Al Metilas Yadayim. And that's why it follows. Hashem created man b'chachma. B'chachma is not only Hashem's chachma, it's man's chachma. Galui v'yaduva lifnei chisei chavodecha. It is well known. It is well known the miracles that you perform. Why a reference to the Kisei Chavodecha? Because it speaks about Hashem's throne that was there, Merishon, from the beginning of time. And it speaks about the fact that there's a Kisei Kavod that's right over here on earth that corresponds to Hashem's Kisei Kavod. What's that? That's Mikol Mikdashen. That's the Beis HaMikdash. But I don't always have a Beis HaMikdash. But it doesn't matter I don't always have a Beis HaMikdash. Because in this world, I'm able to serve Hashem as a Kohen, regardless if this is a Mikdash or not. Mikol Mikdashenu means that I can live a life of holiness, a life of sanctity as a Jew, whether there's a Mikdash or there isn't. Every single day I can serve. And that's the Kisei Chavodecha that we make reference to in the Asher Yatzar. The fact that once again, man was created with wisdom, with the ability to choose to do the right thing and follow the Derech Hashem, to choose right from wrong, to choose a life of sanctity over a life of materialism or secularism. That is what that's what I learned from that phrase. Umafli la'asos. What's that? So if you look in Shoftim, the Malach that appeared to Manoach and to Eshes Manoach, so it says right pasuk or two before that, they asked him his name. And he said, Lama zet tishalish me? Why are you asking? Vuhu peli. Pei, lamed, aleph, yud. And then a pasuk or two later, it says, umafli la'asos. What does that mean? Peli means, doesn't only mean wondrous. Peli means the fact, it's a pella, I don't have a specific name. I don't have a specific name. My name is based on what? How does a malach work? A malach serves Hashem. His name is his mission. His name is what God tells him he's supposed to be doing. So when it says about the malach who mafli la'asot, he does one. It was absolutely wondrous. It means that my identity is the way I serve Hashem. My identity is the kedusha that I'm able to. There's a life of kedusha that I live. My name are the wondrous things that I do that are here to serve Hashem like a malach. So therefore, in our Asher Yatzar, we make reference to Maron Merishon, what used to be here. We make reference to the fact that we live here, whether we have a Beis HaMikdash or we don't. We live the life as if we are entering the sanctuary. And that's Al Nitilas Yadayim. I lift up my hands to serve Hashem. I'm like a Kohen walking into the Beis HaMikdash. I make reference to the Kisei HaKavod, and the Kisei, the Beis HaMikdash, which is below Marom Makom Mikdashen. And Mikvei Yisrael Hashem. And I know very well the last Mishnah in Yuma, which is the last source, we're going to have to read it inside. Rabbi Akiva says, Ashrechem Yisrael, fortunate are the Jewish people. Lifnei mi atem etarmu mi tam etar eschem. In front of whom do you purify yourself? In front of Hashem. Avichem Shabbat Shamayim. Mikvei Yisrael Hashem. He quotes that pasuk. Mikvei Yisrael Hashem. Ma mikva metares hatameim, af HaKadosh Baruch Hu metares Yisrael. Just like a mikvah is able to purify those who are impure, who are ritually impure, so too Hashem is able to purify the Jewish people. So when I wake up in the morning and I acknowledge Hashem as the Creator, I acknowledge there's the concept of Mikdash, whether that means the physical Mikdash in Eretz Yisrael, in Yerushalayim, or means the Mikdash of my home, and the fact that I'm a Kohen in that Mikdash. So I begin the day, first of all, with washing my hands from the Kiyor. I recite the Baruch Asher Kiddushanu b'mitzvosav. I am a holy person. You have sanctified me with your mitzvos. Al nitilas yadayim, the ability to choose to uplift my hands and serve you as a Kohen would, because I am doing Sherut, I'm doing Avodah. My whole day is a mission to serve you. And then I say Asher Yatzar, whether I went to the bathroom or not, it doesn't make a difference. You created me with Chachma, with your Chachma, and the Chachma that I have. And I'm reminded when I speak about the fact that I'm a human being. So I have both of those phrases. Although I am just a human being, and I speak about Nikavim, Nikavim, Chalulim, Chalulim, but then I say, Galui v'yadu al frech sechvodecha. I make reference to the Kisei HaKavod. I make reference to the Beis HaMikdash, to that pasuk Kisei Kavod, Mamar Marushon. I make reference to Mikvei Yisrael Hashem. And Mafli va'asos. I can do wondrous things. The wondrous things, as if I'm a malach. And that takes us maybe into the next time, when we speak about malachim in the Birchos Kriya Shema. We'll stop here. Okay? I've got a question. Yeah.
You answered a question I had.
Okay.
So you say